Hello, it is Eben again, back for a quick intro for the last of the catch-up episodes, at least for now. This is episode number 57, and we get into all kinds of fun stuff. It's the first of 2019. We talk a little bit about Macroverse 2.0, which is underway right now. Ascension series, which we've talked a little bit about on Yarn. We get into that a little. The following episode, which will go up later this week or early next week, gets much more in depth on Ascension, but season 3 is launched yesterday of all 4 core series on the Yarn platform. So dive into the show notes and find the link and get in there. We want you to read it. We want you to see it. We'll talk about some New Year's resolutions, Black Klansmen, Hujima flips, all kinds of fun stuff. So dive in. Check it out, and we will be caught up, I believe, as of the next episode. Thank you.
And good evening.
Oh, hey.
Hello, how's it going?
Oh, Adam.
Eben, how are you?
I am good, and welcome to 2019.
Yes.
Happy New Year.
First podcast of the year.
First podcast of the year, absolutely.
Very exciting indeed.
So, before we dive into the actual content of this show, a little update for anyone that's been paying attention. So, we do still have a backlog of, I think, 2 or 3 episodes, which are continuing to go up on the feed.
Kind
of
catching
mm-hmm, up mm-hmm, on... Mm-hmm. On the last few episodes of last year. So those are coming, and we'll just go ahead and get those up this week. So we'll just get a kind of smorgasbord of catch up.
A
smorgasbord?
Very Swedish.
Going into this first episode of the new year. Mm-hmm. So we can kind of catch up and deliver everything that we were thinking that we don't even remember at this point.
Yep, exactly.
Plus the new stuff. Going on.
Yeah. Exactly. That'd be great.
So welcome to Mythmakers 2019.
Yes.
This is a show all about storytelling, the process, power, and people of story. I am Eben Matthews.
I'm Adam Martin.
And together we have over 40 years of experience developing, creating, and delivering content across a wide variety of media, and seems to be getting wider
and
all the time.
Steadily bigger, exactly. It's good.
So it is good. And a couple of quick announcements. So I am extremely happy to announce, and we should actually do a separate little episode specifically geared towards creators around this, but we are very much in development on Macroverse 2.0.
Exciting stuff.
Very exciting stuff. So Macroverse, as some of you know, is our comics platform. It's kind of our vision for what we believe the future of comics are. It's what we think digital comics should be. Mm-hmm. And we believe we're kind of pioneering the next phase of that art form, kind of what if, basically answering the question, what if comics were created and designed
for
a digital first mobile world, and just building the answer to that question.
Yep.
So we're very much at the point where we're actively in development on it. We're expecting to release it within the next few months. And so that also means we are actively looking for the first kind of big wave of creators to come on board and launch content on the platform. And so I think that's worth its own little, kind of mini episode.
I think so. It's worth, digging into what we're looking for and what the process is and time frames and all that kind of fun
stuff. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of all of that within the next week or two. But if you hear this and you are a comics creator or someone that wants to make innovative comics content, then definitely check out. Let us know. But if you're not familiar with Macroverse, you can download version 1 of the app right now, and so you'll get a very good sense of kind of the type of storytelling and the mechanism that we're using to kind of tell these types of stories. Our launch title, Dead Town, is up there right now, and you can kind of get a feel for how it all works.
Exactly.
And then the big innovation with version 2 is making the platform accessible and more open to other creators to bring their content on board, and we're building a bunch of tools around all of that, and there'll be a bunch more to talk about. But if you like the format, we're ready to talk.
If it appeals to you, you feel like there's anything you could do kind of in that realm, then please
get in touch. You can find email and social media contacts and all of that in the show notes, as well as just anywhere you're listening to this and finding us. So we're ready to talk about that. We're also going to do a separate little mini episode about our Ascension series, on which is Yarn. Well launched on the Yarn platform. So you've heard us tease about it. We can finally really talk actually, about it.
Exactly, yes.
So actually, we're into season twos now of the Ascension series. So the short version of that, which again, we'll dig into in more detail. So basically, this is what I like to call, what if you could take the mechanisms of the Marvel Universe, so a shared universe of multiple storylines that all are interconnected and take place in the same kind of mega world, story in the same world, and do it in a kind of a Blumhouse-y, you know, kind of vibe or a tone, and then deliver it in an innovative kind of new media app format. So those three things combined are kind of how I think about or describe.
That's interesting. I don't think I've heard you say that succinctly before. That's kind of good.
Yeah. Like that. That's my sales pitch for what we're doing with Ascension. So, you know, we worked with the Yarn platform before for a prequel for Deadtown, and now we've spent basically most of last year, you know, creating, writing, directing, producing, putting together this big series for them. So basically it's four separate storylines. So in the using the Marvel analogy, think of it as your Captain America, Iron Man, Hulk and Guardians of the Galaxy, let's say, and then this now falls apart, but you know, then coming together into the Avengers, you know, so it's four separate stories that are all interwoven and ultimately tell one big story with characters crossing over and little Easter eggs throughout, you know, all kinds of fun stuff for people that really get invested. It's been a lot of fun to kind of architect this shared universe, you know, as we kind of
lots of planning, lots of sitting and drawing and working out
timelines and how it all crosses over. It's all live action. So we've got over 100 episodes, which will be out by the time it's all over, over 100 minutes of video content. Yarn is unique in that it combines text, photos, and videos in the kind of context of a chat conversation or a text conversation. So it's this meta,
like you're eavesdropping on somebody else's conversation, and then we've got a story within this.
Exactly. Yes. So it's, you know, and we're kind of pushing the boundaries of what we can do there as far as telling this kind of supernatural thriller adventure story, you know, again, through these different series that ultimately create this sort of big, giant storyline. We also, you know, have a lot of thoughts about how that becomes a TV show and other cool things down the road.
All designed to be built out, but
stars Katie LeClaire of Switched at Birth fame, Brett Davern from MTV's Awkward, and a really fantastic cast kind of from top to bottom.
All over the place,
Well, again, we'll do a specific episode just about that, but that's all up on Yarn right now. We're very much actually closing in on the ends of season twos with season threes launching in the next kind of weekish or so.
Yes, exactly.
And so this will be running through the end of February. And we're very excited to have it out. And hopefully on from there. So very excited to have it out. And there'll be links in the show notes to go, you know, dive in as well. The first bunch of it is free to watch. And then you can kind of jump in from that point. But we love, you know, your thoughts, your feedback. We're real excited about it. And so we just want people to see it.
Exactly. It's been a lot of what's been happening over the last 6 months has now kind of come to fruition here. So
exactly.
Very excited.
So more to talk about with that as well, but very excited that it's out there. And I don't know, as of today, the total kind of top views for the whole thing are at about 1.5 million.
Nice.
So
not too bad.
Not a decent amount of exposure, and then, you know, can kind of can dig in from there. So anyway, jump in. You can also find some teasers and you know, stills and things on our Instagram at the moment if you want to get a little taste.
We've been teasing this stuff for a long time now, so it's nice to actually just have it out there and be able to talk about it. And
exactly. So
well, no spoilers, but
so more to talk about with all of that good stuff. It is 2019.
This is
our first show of the year.
It is.
Any resolutions, you know, kind of reflections on the new year?
No,
share with this audience.
The thing for I do like to do those kind of New Year's plans, and there's something obviously psychological about that. Yes, so my wife Miata, she has a company, a financial education company, and she encouraged her clients and students to do a exercise where, in terms of planning for the new year, going back over the last year and looking at everything that was kind of an energy drain on your life, and then everything that was an energy booster, and then kind of write a list of each of those things, and then with those in mind, plan your goals for the year. And then I also separate out my kind of goals and my aspirations. So they're I have aspirations, you know, it's great. You want to sell a screenplay, you want to direct this, you want to climb Kilimanjaro, whatever it might be. Those are things that to some degree or other may be beyond your control, especially in the professional realm. So the sell a script or direct a movie or whatever it might be. However, in your control are making sure you're having those conversations, making those phone calls. So the goals are put work towards this, you know, put work towards this thing, contact agents, whatever it might be to achieve that aspiration.
Yes.
Even, but I do separate those out because one thing I have control over and the other I, to some degree, don't.
Yes.
You can't, you cannot, if you're pitching someone, you know, you want to go pitch someone a great project, you have no control over whether they are going to actually say yes or no.
Yes.
So your aspiration is enroll, blah, 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 in this great thing we're doing. However, that's an aspiration. I can't guarantee that result. Sure. However, you can guarantee having that conversation. And so I do make that distinction. So yeah, that was kind of, it was fun. It was a good, nice way to spend the kind of New Year's Day. We sat and did all that stuff, kind of sat in bed and talked and
Yeah.
How about you?
Very cool. Yeah, similarly, I mean, it's funny. I used to spend a decent amount of time every year, and it's the last couple of years I've been, you know, kind of have had the thought to do this again, but it's used to, I used to be pretty religious about like spending that time to kind of make a list of things. You know, these are the, you know, at 15 points or, you know, whatever that, you know, I want to make sure get accomplished this year. I will say, you know, the net result of doing that was very positive in that looking back at some of those lists, you know, the exercise at that point was, you know, write down these 15 things, have them kind of committed in reality, and then to a some degree or another, kind of just let them go and then review at the end of the year kind of what things got done and what didn't. And, you know, a decent number of them would always get done. And then part of that exercise, at least for me, was to then evaluate, like, the ones that didn't get done, were those things that I actually really cared about, or were they driven by, you know, I should want this, or this should, you know, some external, you know, thing that, you know, made that go on the list, as opposed to it being something that was, you know, in a way related to what you were saying, like actually committed to taking the actions to then have the result. So I haven't done that in a while. What I've kind of done instead is look at, I guess, you know, I've found myself in this interesting place in the past couple of years, and it's, you know, kind of very much realizing that, for better or worse, a big portion, especially of my professional life, has happened almost by default. It's been like the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And that's all led to some wonderful things, but it's been very much like, oh, this next project has popped up. This next, you know, relationship has popped up. So it's sort of, you know, to a degree, not that I haven't, you know, driven that boat to in some ways, but it's also been reactive in a lot of ways. And, you know, it's been over the past couple of years, it's become very important to me. And, you know, maybe this is in part, you know, feeling a little more, a little closer to my own mortality, or being a little more aware of, like, you know, not having as many years ahead as I would have, you know, a few years ago, you know, having little kids, like there's all that's in the mix there. But just having this very kind of very present kind of awareness of, like, you know, there are a lot of things that I really care about accomplishing before I leave this earth, in whatever form that may take. And, you know, I don't want those regrets at the end of this experience of life, of, you know, at least not feeling like I did every possible thing that I could to have at those things and to accomplish those things. And so it's been a very, you know, conscious thing over the past couple of years to be less on automatic pilot around, you know, take the next gig, take the next job, you know, because they're there, and more about, you know, pursuing those things very directly. And so, you know, that's been, you know, in a somewhat, you know, even in a potentially, you know, not necessarily the most obvious ways in some cases. You know, we may have talked about this before, but, you know, about, I guess 2 years ago, you know, I spent a few months kind of just meeting people, and that actually led to all of the stuff that we've been doing for the past couple of years. Was just, you know, kind of making kind lots of cold contacts and lots of cold emails and lots of cold phone calls and just having coffees and looking for those connections. And I feel like, you know, that's led me and hopefully us, you know, kind of a lot closer to a lot of the things that we've talked about, you know, for years and years and years. And a big part of that also has then been distinguishing. It's like, you know, I feel fortunate in that I've developed a pretty broad skill set over the past, you know, 20 years. And so in some ways that makes it more challenging because there are a lot of different things that I can do. So it's like, you know, it's like, here's this opportunity to go, you know, design a video game. It's like, I can do that, but that doesn't actually give me what I want 2 years towards from now. And so, you know, realizing that, like, how I define myself and how I define my career and my goals and sort of where I want to be and go and, you know, the things I actually want to spend my time doing creatively, you know, really is in the writing, directing. I would have said producing, although I'm a little less in love with that after this past bit of last year, but very specifically creating, writing, directing. And having been able to spend a big chunk of time doing that now over the past year, like that confirms that that is where
actually where you want time to be,
to be spent. And so, you know, now going into this new year, kind of wrapping up the project with Yarn and having done a lot of that in that project, the question for me then becomes, like, how do we take that and leverage it into the next things? And at this moment, we don't know what that next thing is exactly. We have some ideas and certainly
working towards, you know, things.
What we're doing with Macroverse is another big component of that. But it's, you know, the balance of needing, you know, life to work, but at the same time making sure that, you know, the goal, the ground that's been taken is not lost out of, you know, necessity for other things or, you know, whatever else. So it's, you know, kind of going into this year with a little bit of that juggle, but also, you know, kind of a little bit of confidence around, like, oh, well, we did make that happen.
That exactly.
Let's just keep doing that.
It works very well. And with a lot of people, well, especially with the Yarn stuff.
Exactly. And it's, And it's, it is encouraging. It's a small sample audience at this point, but those people that have seen it have responded very positively to it thus far. And so, you know, part of what, as we wrap up production, part of the job as well is just kind of getting it in front of as many people as possible. And so if you're listening to this, be one of those people.
Exactly.
So that's kind of how, what I've been thinking about kind of going into the new year. It's just, you know, it's like, let's kind of push what's been happening, you know, to the next level. So, you know, it's weird because I wish, there's a part of me that wishes I had this mentality, you know, in my 20s, but I also then, you know, that's it's a fruitless exercise because I wouldn't have been able to. But it's, you know, I do feel like, you know, I've sort of found this mental space for myself about, you know, kind of what it is to actually be in a sort of startup mentality. And, you know, the kind of doing the things that, you know, in a, you know, this sort of, cliche, but in some ways doing the things that people don't do to have the things that people don't have. And sometimes those are, you know, putting yourself in a position that is uncomfortable, or it's, you know, doing things that don't seem like, you know, obvious, or, you know, whatever those things might be, but it's, you know, just kind of continuing to look for, you know, where are those opportunities, how to create those opportunities.
Yes.
And also a big part of that is kind of tying into what you're saying, which is what I've come to realize, or at least what I've come to believe, is it all comes down to just talking to people. That, you know, nothing can happen in a vacuum. I think that's a mistake I've made over the years, is thinking like, oh, well, you know, I just need to do something that people will see, and, you know, that's going to be the thing. And it's not that. It's about, the work has to be good, and people have to like the work that you're doing, but it's about making those connections, talking to people.
Well, I think it is one of those. I think, you know, the
creating relationships.
Creation can happen in a vacuum.
Yes.
There are plenty of people who are very good writers who sit by themselves and write. And I think writing is probably musical composition, at least, is probably can be done solitarily as well. But but to get either of those things out into the world, you then start to need people.
Yeah.
And that goes back to what you're talking about in terms of talking to people.
Exactly. Well, and I think, you know, and this is where I feel like it's, you know, for me specifically is a bit of a blessing and a curse too, in that it's like I have this very weird combination of things that actually make me feel fulfilled and satisfied, and that are sort of in the bucket of kind of ambition. So it's not just about being a good writer or just being a good director or just, you know, coming up with cool content. Mm-hmm. It's about being able to take all of those things and then build something bigger all around it. It's like, you know, my heroes are the, you know, the Walt Disneys and the George Lucases and, you know, kind of now the J.J. Abrams of the world that have been able to take these big things and then build organizations around them.
Yes.
And so all of that falls into that for me, where it's like, you know, the, like, I won't really be satisfied until there's a company that's built around all of this stuff. And, you know, so it's a big ambition, but it's also, in some weird ways, never felt more available.
I think so. And, no, I think
than it has now. And part of that is also feeling, you know, a level of confidence in our collective skill in this arena. That, you know, it's like, you know, for better or worse, it's like, I feel like we've gotten pretty good at this stuff and is our, and is only getting better. So, you know, I think this will be an interesting year to see how all that unfolds. And there's, you know, a lot of excitement over the next few months as things wrap up and ramp up.
Exactly.
And we'll certainly keep anyone listening to this posted about all of that.
Indeed. No, that's great. Very cool.
So Happy New Year. Cheers. Yes,
indeed.
And so for this show in particular, we just finished watching
Black Klansman.
Yes. And we'll talk about it.
Yes. having talked already about quite a lot of other stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it was, so I've seen a few of the, it's screener season for us. So we get a bunch of the Oscar movies coming through on DVD, which arrive in the mail, which is always very exciting. And so over Christmas, normally I'm very good about watching all of them, and I'm a little slower this year than I have been. So to date, I've only seen, of the kind of biggies, Widows, that got very well reviewed, but isn't in the Oscar competition really. The Favourite, I watched last night. And then we just finished Black Klansman today.
Yes.
And Klansman, head and shoulders, the best of the ones I've seen so far.
Yeah.
Really impressive.
Really good movie,
The fact that it's based on a true story is kind of great. You know, it's, I would, even as someone who is in no way a fan of our current president, I feel like some of the there were a lot of stuff through the movie of little kind of lines of dialogue and stuff that were dinging, comparing, making the very direct comparison between what he says with what David Duke has been saying, with what KKK members are saying, with and I felt like that got a little heavy-handed for my taste.
Agreed. There were a couple of almost winking at the camera moments. That stuff.
100% Kind of America First things and whatever else, which is all, I think it's all highly relevant.
Yes.
And a little, I think you're right. It was a little kind of breaking the fourth wall. And then it did wrap up with a very powerful comparison, because David Duke is a recur, who is, if you don't know who that is, he was a former Grand Wizard. Grand Exalted Cyclops, whatever ridiculous titles those guys have. It's a real title.
It is.
Of the KKK, who kind of ran for office and is now on the periphery of kind of respectability, I would say.
Yeah.
But very definitely still kind of racist, white power idiot that he always was. Yes. He's just hiding it quite well, along with a few of those guys.
Yeah.
And so he plays a very strong role in Black Klansman. And then they did have kind of archival footage of him talking about Donald Trump and the Charlottesville attack and that kind of thing at the end. So it was very interesting because it actually kind of almost ends positively. And then you have this very definite
like,
kind of...
Oh, like this is still this,
nothing's happy. Really changed. Exactly. It's all pretty bad still. Yeah. Which was... It's depressing, but I think necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's overall an excellent film. I mean, yeah, Adam Driver is terrific.
Yeah.
I've completely forgotten the name of the
actual lead
actor, yes. Which is slightly embarrassing.
Yes, but he's also fantastic. Excellent. Yeah, I mean, it's very well acted all the way across the board.
Very cleanly directed, like very nicely, just kind of unobtrusively directed. It had there's one shot with a famous Spike Lee shot of kind of traveling with characters.
Yes.
As they're not really moving, but they're kind of floating.
Flying down the street or flying through the hallway in this case. Saved it for the end, though.
Yes.
Then
it's
at the very last moment, you're like, oh, it's a Spike Lee joint.
Right. That's one.
But yes, very, very good all the way across.
Well across
the board. And yeah, definitely well worth seeing. I also liked a lot of a lot of the kind of intercutting between things. So I think it does a good job of both. I mean, it certainly has a very clear point of view, and rightly so, right and wrong and that sort of stuff. But I also thought in a just directorially, it actually does a slightly in the face of that almost slightly subversive job of comparing like two groups that have diametrically opposed points of view. And yet in this one sequence in particular are almost doing the same thing.
Yes,
so it's almost like seeing like what they're doing is almost identical, but who they are is radically different.
And of course, what I'm realizing is that was the very direct comparison between those two things with the Charlottesville groups and the fact that Trump compared, oh, there were good and bad people on both sides. Like,
exactly. You know? So I thought there were some touches like that directorially and editorially.
Very good. Yep.
That, you know, kind of do some almost slightly subversive mental gymnastics in the middle of kind of what the movie is saying.
Yes.
Which I thought was really nicely.
Really well
really
done.
Really nicely well executed. Yeah.
It was good. And very unobtrusive directing.
Yes.
Felt,
yeah.
With a couple of exceptions. I feel like there were some kind of very extreme Dutch angles for a couple of conversations. Yeah. But I think those were, again, useful in context because they illustrate the kind of the twisted nature of this conversation.
Yeah.
So almost actually humorous, which is kind of funny.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and it was interesting having seen the Favorite last night, where the story was actually beautiful and it's Olivia Colman and Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone and kind of is. And God, Queen Anne, I'm not sure what century that was. Mid-18th century, maybe. Sorry, 1800s. Where the directing, the story was good and the acting was beautiful. But the directing really pulled me out of it because they did a number of kind of odd techniques in terms of these super wide-angle lenses. Kind of 10mm lenses, 12mm, 8mm maybe even, really, really warped ones, kind of panning people across rooms so that the room almost is flowing around them and tracking these long tracking shots that then end with a pan to kind of follow into the next scene. I mean, just very intrusive, I would say, directorial style.
Yes.
Which kind of bugged me about halfway through it. So I didn't end up loving the film because I found it quite cold, even though the story is very personal because take me out of it. Whereas this, I thought, was very nicely done.
Yeah.
It was great. Just great. Yeah.
Definite recommend.
Yes.
Absolutely.
High recommend.
Yes. So, Adam, what is a Hoojama flip in the new year?
What is the first Hoojama flip of the year? So the first, the Hoojama flip is obviously whatever is top of mind.
Yes.
For me, I think very much it has been Spider-Verse, Into the Spider-Verse. just recently.
Yes, which I am so, once again, in danger of losing all geek credibility with having not made it to see the Spider-Verse yet.
I'm not so much as losing it as having
trying to regain, trying to claw my way back to it. Yes,
I mean, I feel like, you know, if we're looking back at movies in the last little bit.
It's true. It's true. You know, yeah, I know. I blame my small children. Let's not talk about that. I did just buy it so I can watch it now. But,
oh, good. Because that makes all the difference.
It does. It's in my library.
Yes.
Yes, I know.
I'll claw
my way back to my some geek credibility over the course of this year. That's one of my New Year's resolutions.
Yes. It means you're clearly not training them properly to enjoy.
I don't disagree. I do disagree, but I don't disagree for my own sake. But I will say, you know, so my daughter is 5 and a half now.
Yes. My God.
This is one of those longer term goals where I really do so desperately look forward to her being like 8, 9, 10, where all of these things, you know, can mm-hmm. start to like open up. And one of the things that I'm just desperate and so hopeful that some of these things connect, because what I do for my own enjoyment is plant these little Easter eggs with her and with my 2.5-year-old.
Yes.
So, you know, it's like I'll go around humming the Imperial March, you know, while I'm making coffee in the morning. Or last year we put a gate up in front of the Christmas tree so he couldn't get to any of the ornaments and like pull things off. This year we just didn't put up any of the glass stuff. So instead we made a bunch of paper ornaments together and kind of made it this little craft thing, which was fun. So it's like, you know, I'm making like Boba Fett's and Darth Vader's and, you know, R2-D2's and stuff like that, you know? And so we, you know, I would draw them, they would color them, we'd put them on the tree. And then, you know, one day, Austin, my daughter, we were talking about Pez dispensers, and so I ended up, like, making her a bunch of drawn paper Pez dispensers, which were all Star Wars characters.
Interesting, okay, yep.
So it's like, you know, I like to, like, you know, plant these little seeds. She has no idea who these guys are, or if she does, she has no idea what context they're in.
Right.
So I look forward to this moment where it's like, finally, I can sit down and watch Star Wars with her, and it's like, I'm just... really hope some of those light bulbs.
That's,
you know,
very
go
funny.
Off.
Oh, that's great.
But anyway, into the Spider-Verse.
Yes. Oh no. Just it's terrific. I mean, it made, I think, the BBC top 10 movie of the year.
Yeah.
And deservedly so. It is a splendid piece of filmmaking. And good for all the reasons. I mean, good for all the kind of diversity and you know, looking at the different kind of iterations of Spider-Man coming mm-hmm. in and really. You know, I did a pilot with a kid who voices Miles Morales last year. And you could tell he was talented and you knew this thing was coming out. And it was, it's great. And it is this kind of combination of social commentary. I think it does what films and comics and things do well when they do them well. It's, mm-hmm. you know, good social commentary, good humor, some great action, some real stakes. Some real kind of pathos in there too. It was, I was very, very impressed. I, you know, I was kind of, I liked the look of it, but I wasn't blown away by it. My son dragged me to it. I would have seen it eventually.
Right.
And he is completely obsessed, of course. Mm. And the soundtrack is amazing. It has become a staple in the car. So it's good. Really, really good. Really good. Well worth seeing.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
I feel like, you know, we've got to deliver this next round of stuff for the Ascension series.
Yep.
And then I feel like there might be a little personal reward of kind of sneaking off to see the Spider-Verse.
Uh-huh.
We shall see.
Yes.
We shall see.
Yes. What is yours?
For me, I just want to talk about, it feels like it's relevant in this world of things that we talk about. So I just want to talk about Black Mirror Bandersnatch.
Ooh, yes.
Which I love the Black Mirror series in general. Uh-huh. I think it's one of the kind of watershed TV things for it's me over excellent. The past, yep. you know, multiple years. And it's, you know, it's it. I've said this on several shows, but I very much believe, and this is probably pointless to say at this point because it seems completely evident, but I still feel like there is this ground, this sort of slow but steady groundswell towards the kind of intelligent science fiction yes. genre, which mm-hmm. seems to just be getting, you know, more and more
drumbeat is getting louder and louder. Yes,
yeah, you know, more and more traction, shall we say, and Black Mirror very much kind of at the forefront of that. Mm-hmm. You know, we had been hearing rumors for a while that Netflix was experimenting with branching narrative or choose your own adventure, yep. you know, kind of interactive storytelling, and one thing that, you know, Netflix is one of the few companies that can do this where it's like, okay, they're talking about this, and then just, you know, like, oh, it's a Black Mirror movie and it's out tomorrow,
yeah, right,
exactly. and like with no warning, with no trailers, with no anything,
yep,
and then it's, you know, the water cooler conversation, you know,
of course,
the next, you know, week or so. So I, you know, I sat down and watched it. It's one of the few things that I've, you know, spent the time to, you know, really sit down and, mm-hmm. and watch, and partly due to the fact that one has to pay attention and make choices. One of the things that I found fascinating is that there's a little instruction at the beginning, which it encourages you to make the choices that you would make, as opposed to sort of trying to gamify the,
yes.
the thing. As someone that grew up reading tons of choose your own adventure books and being yep. a big fan of that, I was one of those kids that would like hold my finger on the page where the choice was and then like
read
the one, you know,
was there
thing,
any other way of doing
and
it?
And then go back and read the other one. Yeah, yeah, and, yeah. You know, so
I'm gonna try to map it at some yes. point and completely to map it, but yes.
Yep. So there's probably a point where it's like going back and rewatching and trying to follow a different path, you know, would be fun. One thing I liked about it is they took away a little bit of that, you know, kind of question of like the you know, to me, it would be slightly frustrating if you felt like there's no easy way to kind of go and make those alternate choices. You'd have to like watch the whole thing again and then right. pick a different thing. Mm-hmm. So one thing that they do, which I thought was very smart and kind of helps as an audience member kind of deal with that desire, is that there are, and I think I read something about, there are only a few points which are immutable. The rest of the time, it'll give you kind of the outcome, and that'll be the end of that branch, and then it'll take you back to the previous choice to be able to make a different choice.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And so it kind of has that built into the flow of the narrative, which is actually kind of nice. The first yep. time it did that, I was like, oh, thank you. Like, and then it's probably the most meta piece of storytelling in a cinematic sense that That's I've great. Ever seen, because it's about a guy making a game, and then it's about multiple pathways and multiple realities and making choices and influencing the real results of life by making choices. And then there's this layer of it where he comes to realize that he's not in control of his own life, that there's something bigger making choices for him.
Fantastic.
It's brilliantly made and just incredibly well put together from top to bottom. I think that I'm pretty sure there's no actual kind of, you know, oh, you won the game kind
right.
of moment, uh-huh. which is interesting. And I think we're so driven, especially in the context of playing games, to want
to win
yes. or to have the, mm-hmm. you know, the hero, you know, outcome. That I think that's an interesting choice, you know, kind of as a storytelling point right. of view.
Yep.
And then this is not too spoilery, but there's one moment where one of the choices, so I don't think this gives too much away, but it's just, I got such a kick out of this. I'm going to slightly spoil this moment anyway. But there he gets to a point where he's questioning the nature of reality. And is there someone else out there that's making choices for him? And
yes.
And so then you have to decide as the viewer, like, you know, are you going to tell him, number one, that there's something bigger out there making choices, i.e. you.
Right.
And then who is it that's making these choices? And so one of the options options for who is it that's making these choices is Netflix.
Oh, that's amazing.
And so I chose that. And then you go down this little path of him going like, what the hell is Netflix? And then you decide like, are you going to tell him more? And so then you tell him like, well, it's like TV, but on the internet. And he's like, well, what's the internet? Because all this is happening in the 80s.
Oh, that's great. So
it's very funny and just this kind of great moment where you can imagine in the writer's room right. and being like,
ooh, yeah. yeah. Right. That's
so it's very fun and just, you know, very much a part of the Black Mirror universe. There's Easter eggs all over this, you know, movie that tie into other episodes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my favorite episode from the last season, which is the, you know, the black and white one with the woman getting chased around by this robot dog, is actually one of the games that gets in the background.
Oh,
in this
great.
One. There's just mm-hmm. all kinds of fun little things. So take the hour and 15 minutes and sit down in front of your computer
and just do it.
And just do yeah. it. It's pretty fantastic. And I'm be now very curious to see, you know, both in on Netflix and off, you know, who else starts to kind of experiment
right.
with this
yep.
actually very good version of branching narrative in a cinematic sense.
Yes.
You know, people have tried all sorts of different experiments around this over the years, and this is the first one that I'm aware
yeah,
of that
really
actually
works well.
Really
yeah.
works mm-hmm. both as a branching narrative and also just
as
good
a story
movie.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, very cool. So that would be my recommendation.
Yes.
And I think that kind of wraps up our
wraps
first
up.
Show
I think
of
so.
The year. So
yes.
I think, again, look in the feed for some additional catch-up episodes. We'll get out the last few from last year
yep.
in addition to this one. When we come back next week, we're going to do a slightly deeper dive into what we're doing with Macroverse 2.0.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we'll also be right at the launch of season 3's of Ascension. So I think we'll do a
yeah.
deeper dive on that as well. At that point, it won't be too spoilery to kind of
exactly.
Share some more details around what's actually going on in the story.
Yes.
And, you know,
and
it'll
allow us to talk a bit more about
and
all that stuff.
All
the kind of fun, interesting developments.
In the meantime, now is a perfect time to binge on everything that's up right now. So,
yes.
Again, there will be some links in the show notes here. You can find it on social media. But quick recap mm-hmm. is, again, there are 4 series on the Yarn app. It's Break-In, Remains, Serial, and The Grip.
Yep.
There are 4 separate storylines that, again, all intertwine. So if you're paying attention, there's a bunch of Easter eggs and crossovers of characters and moments, and they all come together to tell this kind of bigger story.
It's very satisfying,
there's a
yes.
lot more going on than it seems like initially. So hang
yep.
in there and follow those threads.
Oh, it's great fun.
It's been so much fun to make it. So again, we just really want you to see it.
Yes.
So now catch up on all that, and then we'll be able to talk a lot more about, you know, kind of what's really going on in this world. Next week.
Indeed.
So catch up on that. Catch up on Dead Town on Macroverse,
yep.
which is on the App Store right now. And we'll have more to say about that.
Indeed.
And on that note,
I think good night.
Have a wonderful time.
Have a great week.
You can find us all over social media at M2Action.
Yep.
And we'll talk to you next week.
See you later.
Bye.